Caitlin Goss, who is a mom at Perimeter Church. She has three very, very cute boys. And she actually works in women's ministry now, running and managing discipleship alongside Kelly Means. So I am going to let her. She has invited a great panel of moms to come speak with her. So I'll let Caitlin introduce all of them. But I know y'all are in for a great morning with Advent ideas and traditions and just all things Christmas. So I know y'all are in for a treat. Let me pray for us to get us started. Okay. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your great love, God, and we're thankful for this season of Christmas to celebrate the birth of Christ, our Savior and Lord. Thank you so much that Jesus came on our behalf and was born in a humble stable, Lord, and grew to be our Savior and King. God, let us, each one of us, in the midst of this busy season, learn how to take a deep breath and rest in who you are and all you've called us to be, God, and just rejoice in the birth of Jesus. Lord, be with our panel this morning. Thank you so much for all of these women giving up their time to come and speak to us. And Lord, would each mom in here leave refreshed and encouraged and with lots of ideas. We love you, Lord, and thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, hi, good morning. We are so glad to be here today. This is honestly one of my favorite things, is when I get to come and hang out with y'all and see all of your babies. And you guys are way more chill moms of little babies than I was. I love seeing them over there. As Gail mentioned, I work in women's ministry. I'm a discipleship coordinator along with Kelly Means. I am by no means a, no pun intended, a professional in Christmas. I haven't studied it extensively. I'm just simply a mom that wants to calm my heart. I want to be, have a calm heart. I want to be Christ-focused in the Christmas season, and I'm kind of learning as I go. So I have a fabulous group of ladies that are joining me today. They're some of my dear friends, and they are faithful moms. If you guys want to come up, and I'll have you guys introduce yourselves too, just take a seat. We had another girl that was going to be here with us, and her boys got sick, so she's not going to be here either. But we all have, and I'll have them each introduce themselves and kind of their ages and stages of children. But I purposely kind of wanted to have our age and stage, because I don't know about you, but sometimes you're just like, I want to set traditions. I want to set a trajectory for what my family's going to look like, but I'm just trying to get by this year and maybe think about next year, but it might change each year. So we aren't too far ahead of you, and this is not a time for us to necessarily give you advice. It's more of, this is what we've learned along the way. These are the things that we've been thinking through, mulling through. I'm sure you have too. So hopefully it can be an interactive time, kind of this quick setup of what we're going to do today. So we'll have a panel. I kind of thought through some questions that I'd like to discuss with them. And then we can have a time of some, if you guys have any questions or things that you guys want to share, we'll do that. And then I'll dismiss them. And then we'll have a little bit of some Advent things that I'll do with you guys and have some table time too. So that being said, why don't we go? Margo, you start right there. Introduce yourself. Say kind of your family dynamic and anything else you want to share.
Good morning, girls. My name is Margo Bass, and we are currently split between two kids at home and two kids in school. We have 4, 8, 7, 5, and 2. So I feel like we are just starting to establish some rhythms and traditions with our school-age children, but we're still also very much in a season of little people and helping them understand what Christmas is all about. So
I'm Polly Pope, and I have 3 boys, 4, 6, and 8 right now. 2 of them are here, and 1 of them is in preschool. I feel like we're finally entering into, like, a fun stage of, I know you, of just them really being able to understand deeper concepts about Christmas, and not just about the glitter and the decorations and the lights, but a little bit more. So it's been so far so good this year, so.
Good morning, ladies. My name is Marilyn Thomas, and one interesting thing about ourselves is we just moved here from Illinois a couple months ago this summer, so that's been an exciting time, our first move ever as a married couple and as a family. So, yeah, I've got 2 kids here at Perimeter School, and I've got 1 preschooler now.
You guys get that one. I get my official mic, yeah. And then my boys are, I have a first grade, I have three boys as well, and they are six, five, three. They just had birthdays. So I've got one in first grade and then two in preschool. So, okay, so a couple questions that I have. First of all, how would you describe a successful Christmas season?
Okay, I'll start. Okay. Are you sure? I think just very basically, I was actually thinking about this. My first response was, obviously, if Christ remains central, that it's about his birth, not about Santa and presents, that would be one. Family, like if my family feels loved, if we gather together, if we celebrate. But then I was like, is that even biblical? Like, I just had a moment, I'm like, is that even biblical? Like, shouldn't we be doing that all the time, not just at Christmas? And so that pressure of thinking, oh, yeah, I need my family to feel loved. I need to have, we need to gather. We need to have all these Christmas parties so people know that this is a time for celebration. I was just sort of like, but I don't even know if that's, did they do that? I mean, Mary and Joseph didn't have their annoying nieces and nephews come to the manger, right? Like, anyway, so that was just an internal thought that I had. But, no, but obviously that Christ would reign central. And a successful thing as well is that my kids don't think that they are the center of Christmas. Because it's ugly. That's when it gets really ugly, so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think as I was thinking about what these questions, one of my goals as a mom always is for our home to remain peaceful. And I think I spend so much of my energy making it peaceful, essentially. And sometimes that feels like an oxymoron, too, to work so hard to make it peaceful. But I think for us, if we can just choose a few valuable things to invest our time and our resources into at Christmas, and it does, in fact, remain peaceful, and those memories stick with our kids, that, to me, feels like success. And that takes intentionality, and I think I've learned as, you know, now maybe my ninth Christmas as a mom, that it doesn't just happen. You do have to intentionally say no to things. You have to intentionally say yes to things. And so that might just be my encouragement, is there's so many great offerings at Christmas. And you do just need to decide, like, what is going to be Christmas for our family this year? And how is that going to, in turn, lead to what my husband and I, you know, as a family, what we hope to instill in our kids for the holidays?
For me, I guess I would say, I mean, there's a little of everything that the lady shared. I would definitely say for us, it would be, I think it's a pause, I feel like, a selah, like just to reflect, like Advent, just a time for us to think to ourselves, remind myself the gospel, remind myself of Christ's story, because sometimes in the, you know, I mean, I feel like I try to be in the Word on a regular basis, but I think just to get back to the Gospels, because I feel like we spend a lot of time in the Gospels during Advent season, whether it's different books, Luke or John, you know, just different things like that with the family, and even for our kids, like sometimes, so often I think I'm discipling them, but I think just to make sure that we're keeping our eyes on what was the real story of Christmas, like through the Word and our devotional times. And so for me, I guess the successful part is just pausing together in the Word, mm-hmm. and sitting in it and basking in it for a while.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I love how the reminder that we need to be, even as Christians, even years of being a Christian, that we need the gospel spoken to us as well. Constantly. And I still remember, Polly, I think you told me this years ago, when you first became a Christian, you said you just read the red, if that makes sense. Just reading through, you couldn't get enough of reading the red, which is sad now because a lot of Bibles don't make the red print, which is like, oh no. But that we need that too as well. I put this question up because we can't always control what the season looks like. We have ideas of what we expect and what we anticipate and what we hope for. But the reality is we don't have control over that. I think we can control our hearts and our reactions to people. So I think my answer to that would be a successful, well, first of all, is God glorified in my actions, in my heart? Is my heart in a posture of worship to him during this season? But I think two things for me is, do the people that I'm interacting with, my family, the annoying nieces and nephews, all of the family, do they feel and received love by me? Do they feel grace by me? Or do they feel, are they receiving what my will is, what my way is for doing things, if that makes sense? So sometimes just setting aside my will, my way, and really being intentional of loving those people and serving them well. And then also a second thing, being just being fully present. I think it's easy to go through and kind of survive Christmas time, so to speak. But really, I struggle with being just fully present and available to my friends, to my family. And so I think that's something that I strive for, being fully present with them. How do you try to keep your heart centered on Christ throughout the season? That's kind of similar to that. Do you guys have anything else to add based on you guys?
I think just a practical thing is I always try to get all my Christmas shopping done like before December 1st, yeah. Just because it takes a minute for my heart to untangle from the world and all the emails that come on Black Friday through Cyber Monday, you know. Mm-hmm. And so even if that means spending like a whole day or two just shopping, you know, it's like, okay, this is done. And like, now it's time to just focus on the real reason. So,
How do you battle the tension of joyful gift giving and receiving versus materialism? Probably more specifically with your children.
We have stuck with the three gifts for our kids for quite a few Christmases now, and it has been so freeing to even set that expectation for our kids. I feel like the season that you guys are in right now, your children may not even realize yet what a Christmas wish list is or asking for things, but it's coming. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing how even though you don't necessarily communicate that to your children because of the world that we live in, they will realize, I mean, just sadly, but being able to sort of say up front, like, you're going to get three Christmas presents from mommy and daddy, and, you know, so choose wisely, or tell us what you know, your top three things are, or what you would really love. And, again, it just sort of helps to, in a small way, shift the focus to, like, this is Jesus's birthday, and the fact that you're getting gifts is, like, a huge blessing, but it doesn't need to be all about the long list of things that you want, so.
Well, I always got a lot of slack from my girlfriends because my husband was a no gift family, and I came from a lot of gifts, and so it was like both end of the spectrums, and so we had to. I think there's a question we're going to talk about marriage, in that. So we had a little bit of conflict early on, and so we came to a compromise where we had a lot of family parties where we were from, and so especially on my side, and so. We did no gifts until after Christmas. And so, yeah, typically I think we live on a live by need and not by wants. And so once they got their gifts from whomever, their grandparents and whatnot, or cousins, they would open it. And just depending, different seasons all these years, like sometimes they would get one and sometimes they would get a few more. And so I think after that, I would just kind of decide afterwards, like, is there a need that my kid, you know, I could help provide in this season, so they're not lacking whatever. But then even when I say the word wants, sometimes depending on each kid and what's going on in our lives, sometimes those like cherry on top, those icings, just to remind them that of their, yeah, just a tender touch kind of thing, whatever that gift might be. So that's kind of how we went about things. So in some ways it ended up being a little bit like three. Mm-hmm. But now that we're here, we've moved away from my family. We're going to have to reevaluate that. And so we probably have to be the gift providers. So we were thinking at least one, and maybe one other.
You don't want to know my answer.
Oh, I did.
I am like, gifts are my love language, yeah. So I'm like on the other extreme from them. I will say we blow it out at Christmas. And I think that's how my husband was raised too. He was for like a pastor's kid. So Christmas was like explosion. I mean, it was just an awesome time. And same with me too. My parents just did it up so big, but they didn't say yes necessarily throughout the year, to everything. But there are times where I was talking to a friend the other night, and I'm like, I sort of do envy the people that do like the something you want, something you need, something you wear, and something you read. Because if you think about it, your kids are so provided for. I mean, and then that's four gifts. Like, that's a lot for one kid to receive in one day. And then you go to the grandparents' house, and if you have two sets of grandparents, and then you got your cousins and nieces and nephews and aunts and like, however far those ripples go of your family's gift-giving trends, they're going to get a lot. So there are times, I mean, every Christmas morning I look around, I'm like, this is so much. Why did we do this? You know, but I also think it's fun. It's just sort of who we are. I don't know. Yeah. So
I've had to learn along the way that it's okay to allow people to delight in their love language of gifts. My father-in-law is very much that way, and he's not materialistic. He just genuinely wants to bless other people that way. I know that to be true for you too. So learning to receive those gifts well, I think is important too. I am an experienced person. I'm a quality time person. And my parents, I think, did a great job modeling from a young age. They started, it wasn't every Christmas, but there were several Christmases where on Christmas morning it would be, surprise, here ski goggles, we're going skiing, or we're going, I mean, I know that it's not a cheap gift, but it set the tone of we're going to go and spend time together as a family. You don't have to have some elaborate vacation or whatever it may be. But my husband and I have kind of tried. We're both that way too. And so really trying to, and our boys actually really received that well. Last year was the first year that we really tried it because Jacob, my youngest, was two. And we got them these nice gifts. And then we were like, oh, by the way, we're going to Florida today. And they're like, yeah. And that's all they cared about. They didn't even look at the other toys again. So I think it's also knowing your children too, and knowing what, because it's a joyous season, like, that we should be celebrating. This is a great thing. It's okay to give gifts and freedom and enjoy, but also knowing what would be received well for your family. It might look different, but we love to do vacations and experiences too. Okay, a question that Gail actually mentioned that I thought was really great. How do you guys navigate through, maybe it's with family or extended family, with if you are in a season, or if you have been a season, or if someone is in a season where they really can't truly afford to give gifts to people, but maybe there's the expectation with family. Can y'all speak into that at all?
We have had seasons like that for sure. And I would say just be honest with your family and say, you know what, we're not at a place where we can do more than X if it's a dollar amount. Or even just say, instead of giving gifts to every single person, can we do a name draw this year? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, kind of take the pressure off of so many presents and just say, yeah, you know what, we can do one. And I think that often, again, focuses on knowing a person and giving them something that is meaningful as opposed to just the amount of things that you receive. Mm-hmm. So those might just be some suggestions, and, you know, just to give you the freedom to just pipe up and speak openly, you know, within those circles.
Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of family in town. I think at my husband's Thanksgiving dinner the other day, we had 35 people. My whole family lives, my two brothers and their whole family and my parents live in my neighborhood. We all live together. So we have just, I think there was one year that we calculated we were getting 50-something gifts for people, because everyone loves to do the gifts too. And we just had to put our hands up and say, this is bananas. Like, we had tried for years to do, maybe you guys are in this position or will be, where for his side of the family, again, that is their true love language, to give gifts. But it was getting insane. And every year we said, can we please do, Jared and I would say, can we please do a gift exchange? No. Can we please do a gift exchange? No. And so finally, one year we just said, okay, we love you guys, but truly, we have so much family. It's not that we don't want to bless you. We just, realistically, this is where we are. So we're just letting you know we're going to get gifts for your kids, and we're not going to get gifts for the siblings and the spouse's siblings. We love you. Please don't feel pressure to get gifts for us. And it kind of had to take that one step, and it was a little awkward the first year because they all got us gifts. We're like, we love you. I mean, we just kind of had to barrel through it. But now they don't do that, and now they're all okay with it. I think it just took a couple years of them saying, oh, okay, yeah, this is good. So maybe that's just encouragement to you. If you, as long as your heart's in the right place, just some people are going to want to always do the gift exchange or have everyone give gifts. And you just be true to what you know the Lord is calling you to do and what you can financially do. Anyone else? Anything? Okay. What is your favorite tradition?
Ours is Jammy Coco Christmas. I follow one blogger. That's it. Just one girl. She's nothing fancy. She just lives in Texas. And I picked that up from her. Basically, the boys have to wear Christmas PJs in the Starbucks every year, make their order, they get cookies, hot cocoa, whatever, and then we just drive around listening to Christmas music, looking at Christmas lights. And I sort of can't wait till they're like 12, 14, and 16, you know, because it's like, Jammy Coco Christmas, sorry guys, I don't care if you're embarrassed, like, it's just what we do. But right now they love it, and I love it. I mean, it's like our favorite, just fun, totally. It has nothing to do with Jesus. I get it. But it's one of our most favorite nights of the month.
Ours would be sleeping underneath our Christmas tree. This is something that I did growing up. I'm from a long line of, like, a lot of family traditions, but I've only snagged a couple from my growing up. So we would sleep under the Christmas tree on Christmas Eve, so that we didn't see Santa. No, we don't do Santa with our kids, so we do just let them sleep under the tree and wake up, you know, on Christmas morning. But it's special. I mean, the fire, sleeping bags all out in a row. I do wonder how long they'll do that. I mean, we did it with my siblings. Like, we started busting out the air mattresses. It went for a long time. So I don't know. That's just something special for us. Just.
I guess we have to make new traditions for us in this season. But I'll just talk about a couple of things that we did before. So in Illinois, we had a very large extended family, and so since I was a little girl, we would just do these very large, massive family parties. And so, it was usually Christmas Eve. Yeah, it was Christmas Eve. Most of our family members had Christmas Day services. It would just be probably about 70, 80 people in a house, and we would just eat. There would be a little bit of a prayer meeting, too. We would be singing carols, and somebody would kind of just share a devotional, and it was just a sweet time. And then the cousins would, we would do, even though we didn't do a lot of gift exchange, we would do white elephants, and that was super fun because it was fun. It was like a big, fat family, like icebreaker. That was super awesome. The other family tradition that we did personally, my husband, we were doing ministry at the University of Illinois, and there were a lot of international students. And so what we would do, he just had a heart to how would we get a lot of these international students to come into an American home and experience Christmas? And so we would invite some international students to come over and help decorate, which was awesome because it was like free labor. but, you know, we would just do sweet things like cocoa and, you know, we would have dinner together and things like that. So that was one of our favorite things. And for a lot of them, it was their first time. Specifically, these were Hindu students and maybe some Muslim students. So they got to experience what it was like to, you know, decorate a tree. And then my husband would go over a little bit about, you know, the meaning behind different things and, you know, share the gospel in short sentences. So that was just an awesome experience. It's not necessarily our stage right now, but definitely a sweet memories.
I think my favorite questions always stress me out because I feel like I have to stick to that one answer. But I do love the Christmas Eve service. I really do love the candlelight service. But then also something that my boys love to do that I actually did when with my brothers growing up was we would go. So Jared and I take them in the car, and we go to the dollar store or like Five and Below, and each of them gets to go in one at a time and pick out gifts for their brothers. And then they go hide their bag and they walk to the back of the car and put it up. And then the next brother goes and he gets to get gifts for the two. And it is like they get really nice presents, y'all, from grandparents and stuff. Their favorite gifts are the dollar gifts that they get from their brothers. And so it was just a sweet thing. They're not spending a bunch of money, but they love that. They love to hide it from them. Then they go into their rooms and they get to wrap them and things. And so I think I love seeing the joy that that brings them. So it's probably one of my favorites. Anything that you've had to let go or any lessons learned along the way so far?
I think just real quick, I guess being here, I was telling Caitlin, I'm kind of excited to hear some of their ideas because we need to make some traditions. So, just maybe letting go. You know, it's really hard to move to a new area and, yeah, just the holiday season. And I just, yeah, I'm excited to, it's just an opportunity. You can look at it and just kind of grieve what was once. But I think just an opportunity for a new beginning. And to start new traditions. And when I think about the word traditions, I would also say, like, definitely things that are building sweet memories and hopefully in the midst of those sweet memories and traditions, point to Christ. So. Mm-hmm.
I think a lesson that I've learned along the way is just that we all have a massive hole in our hearts that can only be filled by Jesus. Like, the most magical experiences, the holiday traditions, the presents, all of the warm and fuzzy things that this month is supposed to bring, it always, always comes up short. So, I mean, I remember even thinking that as a kid after those huge, you know, celebrations and gifts and all of that, mm-hmm. feeling like that's it. Which was crazy because I looked around and I'm like, this is so much stuff. But still in my heart, I was like, that's it. It's over. You know, and even like up into my teens and 20s and college and all of that, I still had that. Like, that's it. And it's almost, it is the Lord saying, yeah, that is it. You know, this is like nothing, no sweater or pair of boots or purse. None of that is going to fill that hole in your heart. That goes for us. That goes for our children in a huge way. And I almost want them to taste that. Like, I almost want them to know, like, isn't this awesome? Yeah. But then when they see that no presents are left to be unwrapped, I want them to sort of say, it's it? So that you can have that moment to say, yeah, it is it. Like, this is all fun and great, but there's still something missing inside, right? Mm-hmm. And just to have that opportunity to talk about them, only Jesus will ever fill that hole for you, you know? So anyway, I've learned that along the way. I see it in my children. I look at it as an awesome opportunity to really just input the gospel into that hole and just pray that the Lord will just fill that. So.
I just wanted to encourage you guys to think simple and to think for your current age and stage. I had a lot of, I think, misconceptions as a young mom, wanting to bring all the traditions from the Bass family and all the traditions from the Humphreys family and merge them together into this great Christmas explosion. And our first two babies were just 13 months apart, and I felt like such a failure those first couple Christmases, feeling like it wasn't magical, it wasn't special, we weren't creating memories. And I was like, yeah, because I had a one-year-old and a newborn. But just to encourage you guys to say, what do we have the capacity for this Christmas? If it's just one thing, if it's just two things. And as your kids grow and as your family becomes bigger or just a little bit older, like, those things will come in time. But just to encourage you right now in this season, like, you don't need to say yes to it all. You don't need to do it all. I wish that I had spoken that to myself, you know, 9 Christmases ago, because there's just only so much that you have the capacity for. And even with little children, there's only so much that they'll remember. But just to choose wisely the things that you do want to say yes to, and knowing that, you know, it'll come. All the things, they'll come in time. So.
Mm-hmm. That's great. I think on that note too, Margo, that makes me think you guys might be in that stage where you kind of feel like Christmas is still what your parents want for Christmas, because you might be the first one that have grandbabies, or, you know, it still feels kind of like, well, what do, you know, Grandma and Pops want to do? And it might feel like you're kind of robbed of that. But on that same token, as your kids get older, there is just something that just kind of happens where I don't know, maybe in my family, you could speak to this too, where you feel a little bit more freedom to kind of start establishing routines of your own family as your kids get older. So don't feel like you know, you're limited to what your family does. I think for me, my lesson learned, kind of on the same coin of what you said, Polly, I really have been digging into the whole Advent season more and more over the years. For the same reason, I would go through the Christmas season and I would do all of the right things, or I would experience all the right things, but then I would still kind of feel that sadness, that, you know, the post-Christmas blues on the 26th. But really learning more about Advent and what it means is that God has a much greater story than December 1st to December 25th, even a much greater story even than just the birth of Jesus, that there's a story of creation, of the fall, of redemption, of consummation, that yes, we have this season of anticipation, of waiting, of the birth of Jesus and celebrating that, but that the hope is that the story doesn't end there, that he is coming again for those, and he is making all things new, and that we who are in Christ get to be a part of that story. It has given me a greater hope, and that I still have that hope on December 26th. So I think that's kind of been a lesson learned for me. It has helped kind of gear my heart a little bit more for the months outside of December as well. Okay, so one of our persons that was going to be here, she can kind of speak to this, but how could people celebrate Santa without it necessarily taking away from the Christmas story? So I know some of us don't do Santa, but even, I know for me, honestly, I kind of, the reason we stumbled into not doing Santa was out of pure laziness, to be honest with you. It would be kind of similarly with family. We would do Christmas Eve with my parents, and we would get home at like 11 o'clock at night. It was so late. And then the next morning, we had an hour before we had to be over at the Gosses. And so I was like, I don't have time for this. I'm too tired. And then it kind of evolved into a couple of things. My parents grew up when we did Santa and still did the Christmas story. I feel like we don't do it now with the boys, but I could just say that I think the most beneficial thing would be if you do Santa, or if you choose to do Santa, try to shy away from as much of the, I think of the song, he sees you when you're sleeping, he knows when you're awake, he knows when you've been bad or good, or be good for goodness sake. Well, first of all, we're saved by grace, and the only person that can see all those things is Christ. And so I think keeping that forefront from the beginning, maybe trying not to make it about if you're good, you're going to get these presents, and kind of minimalizing the behaviorism of it throughout the Christmas season. I know some people that would say, I think the person, a friend of mine would say, it's okay. There's a couple years where they have this magical idea that their Santa is coming and it's not going to make them these spoiled brats. They still have been able to marry it really well, but just trying to minimize this whole, he sees you from December 21st or December 1st through the 25th. I just would speak to that, maybe not encouraging that culture so much, but again, like I said, we ended up not going that route. So that's all I can really speak to. Do y'all have anything to add?
I had my 3-year-old just, when he was 3, my oldest, Wyatt, just straight up was like, Mom, I need you to tell me, is Santa real? I was like, oh, I don't know. What do you think? And he like looked me straight in the eyes and he's like, Mom, is Santa real? I was like, no, you know, and I didn't know I was going to do that. Honestly, it just happened. And I just had this moment where I'm like, you're 3 years old. You're my firstborn. I owe it to you to be honest. And so Dave came home and I'm like, okay, we're the family that doesn't believe in Santa. Like, it just happened today, you know? And he was like, okay, you know, I don't care. But you know, and then it's this weird thing, cause it's like, some of your friends might believe, just don't talk about it. Just don't talk about Santa and hopefully you'll be fine, you know? But anyway, so that's sort of how it went. But then I just had this moment. I'm like, okay, and we've talked about this before, but Jesus, like, being born of a virgin and coming to save the whole world, like, that's pretty unbelievable too. So if I'm going to want him to believe in, like, a fat man flying around the world delivering presents or the virgin birth, like, hello, that's where we're putting all of our eggs. And so I just want him, I want all my boys just to be able to trust me. But, you know, Santa's everywhere. So how do you explain that? So we just sort of say he's a character, and just like in a movie, or if you see Mickey Mouse at Disney World, like, that's just what it is. But, and just another thing too, that I started to tell my boys was, your dad works really hard, and I don't want this fake fat man to get all the credit for your presents when your dad works really hard. Like, it's from him, you know, and your dad is good to you. So it's not Santa that's good to you. But it's funny because even my boys will be like, what are you asking Santa for Christmas? Like to each other. I'm like, we don't believe in Santa. Like, what do you, I've told you straight up. But it's so interesting how when you're exposed to it and they're exposed to it and people talk about it and how, and it's kind of scary, just that's for Santa. But then what else are they adopting just through culture throughout the whole year, you know? It's just an interesting kind of sociological study or whatever, just to see how the effects of that. But anyway, so those are my two things. I'm like, I want them to believe in Jesus. Well, three, I want them to always trust my word. Two, I want them to believe in Jesus over everything. And three, I want them to know that their dad is the gift giver, because ultimately that reflects to the Lord as the perfect gift giver. So
I totally echo what Polly said. John shut down Santa for that very reason. He was like, I buy the gifts. Like, I want them to know. I love that. I also just wanted to, we celebrate baby Jesus's birthday with cake. Kind of first thing, before we open any gifts, before we do stockings or anything. And our kids love that and have come, I mean, it's also slash breakfast before we start eating, you know, candy and things like that. But it is sweet to just make that our first, the first thing that we do when we celebrate as a family is that we honor him. Today is his day. And we do blow out candles and literally sing happy birthday to him. But it is sweet to just say, yeah, this is his day, you know, so. Mm-hmm.
Anything to add? No. Okay. How do you balance extended family traditions while developing new ones with your family? Anyone? Got it. I can say if you are you
no,
thinking about
it? Okay. No, yeah. Oh. So we are not from Georgia. All of our family is in North Carolina. So I know that different people's Christmas traditions sort of ebb and flow depending on whether or not you travel for the holidays or you have people come to you. And like I mentioned before, we were from long lines of lots of traditions and how are we going to marry these together? And I have found that kind of the two takeaways that we have really established in our family are probably books and music as far as celebrating Christmas. I think you do have to decide, like I mentioned before, just what you have the capacity for and the age of your kids. There's definitely traditions that we have grown sort of as our family has grown. And like I mentioned before, just giving you guys the freedom to say, like, we can't do all these things. We can't do all the Bass things and all the Humphrey things. But I did just want to say, in your current season, and even in the season that we're in now, I feel like preparing your hearts for the Advent season with music. And then we read a lot of Christmas books from December 1st to December 25th. And it is my kids' all-time favorite. But it's just a simple thing and a daily way that you can kind of point your heart back to Jesus.
We just do Carol always for their family did monkey bread and breakfast quiche or whatever, and so we sort of all of Dave's siblings do that for their families or whatever. So it's fun when we get together to celebrate later with all the extended family. We're like, yeah, we did the breakfast or whatever. But it is great. I mean, it brings some nostalgia for Dave, my husband, because he's like, this is what we always did Christmas morning. But I also feel like that's very doable. I can keep that tradition alive. I'm certainly not sweating over that or stressing over that. It's when things start to become stressful is when you just need to evaluate, like, why am I doing this? You know, if you can implement a Christmas breakfast that your in-laws did for your husband or whatever, that's easy. But when you start to, hate your extended family or something, it's like that's a check probably that you should just reevaluate, because something's not right there. So I would say hold on to the traditions that add value to your family and that everybody really loves, and it's okay to let go of the traditions. And I know this wasn't really a tradition question, but are you talking about like in-law expectations, like on the
sure?
Okay. I think there is a shift. Like, I would venture to say probably most of us when we were growing up knew there was a shift where, like, you stopped going to your grandparents' house on Christmas morning and they started coming to your house. Am I right when I say that? So that will gradually happen for us. I feel like in this stage it's kind of hard because you just schlep your kids all over to every, you know, if they're local, and that can be hard. But I think there is a shift. Try to just be gracious if you can, because it's not convenient. Your kids have to nap. I mean, there's all the factors. I get it, you know. It's not the most convenient, but I do think there will be a shift in just being open to the fact of saying, hey, this is what we're doing this year. Would love for y'all to drop by. We're going to open presents from 10 to 11 or what, you know. That will come, but anyway, don't sin over, you know, trying to please everybody and extended family and your family and all of that. Just try to live honorably in that regard, I would say.
Can you repeat the question?
How do you balance extended family traditions while developing new ones with your family? And I think, too, on that same coin, how do you balance extended family, too, on that same token?
Well, I guess one thing, obviously, we're in a transition, so I don't know if anyone can so much relate with our situation, but I guess for us is like we went from a macro scale to a micro scale. It's just my husband and I and the kids now. So, yeah, just doing a lot of the things that we did with a lot of other people now with our family. And so that's been really sweet. So I guess in the sense of like playing board games or those, like how I said, the white elephant. So thinking about that, something that I treasure just the game aspect of it. And so I think we're just at a season where we're pausing as a family of five and just, yeah, I think a little bit of like board games, just getting to know each other a little more. So those are things that, you know, I was planning and hoping for us to do together, decorating together. Yeah, what else? I'm sure that we're going to do things like family worship. Like we'll get on, you know, my husband will get on the guitar and we'll just be singing. That's something that we do, but probably more carols. So, yeah, just things that we did on a macro scale and just within our own family. Mm-hmm. With extended family, I think I appreciate what Polly said. Well, a couple things that was already shared is just to be honest and being okay to take steps forward if you feel like you need to so that you protect your own heart and maybe your family's or your husband's wishes maybe sometimes to not sin. I think whether that's being angry or being frustrated or being a grumpy wife at a party or those types of things. So just preparing ahead of time, communicating with your spouse, I think that's always really helpful.
I think just I would add with extended family, again, we have so much in the area, and I've really had to come. I used to be kind of bitter and selfish on it, if I'm being honest about it. I was in sin about my heart with having to give up so much of my time to spend with them. It wasn't that I don't love them. I love them. I care about them, but it just kind of felt like, well, this is my Christmas too. And really the Lord has sifted out a lot in me as far as, first of all, one day I'm going to be a mother-in-law. And I think about how would I want my daughter-in-law to treat me? My daughter-in-laws, I've got three boys. Like I need to make sure that I set this tone for my children too, that we honor our family and that we love our family, good and bad. And so I think for me, it's had to be a heart issue. It's just loving them well and denying myself in that way. And not to say that I don't have an opinion or that I just whatever they do, but being gracious in my heart towards them and showing love towards them. And that it's a good thing that I have family that want to spend time with me and that want to spend time with my children and my husband. And so just a heart perspective in that has been really important because they're not going anywhere. They're all here. They're all from Atlanta. And so I could either choose to be bitter and I could choose to be selfish or I could choose to love them well. And so I can say from experience, it works out a lot better when I love them well. Just a couple more real quick. So if you and your husband have different expectations for the Christmas season, how have you come to agreement as a couple? If that makes sense. Does that make sense?
I don't have anything like profound. I do feel like we, every Christmas, do kind of take a minute to say, like, what would you like this Christmas to look like? Or are there any things that you are hoping to do? And that has been good for us because I feel like you can kind of quickly fill up a December calendar without even realizing, like, are you in for the, you know, like Moravian tea party, or is that like strike that? How about your office Christmas party? You know, how about just different things like that? So that would be my encouragement, would be just to talk about it at the beginning of the month or even before Thanksgiving. I also used to do all the Christmas shopping, and John one year was like, hey, like I would love to know what's underneath the wrapping paper when Wes, my brother-in-law, opens up a gift that is supposedly from me. And I was like, oh, okay, like we just hadn't talked about that. I thought I was doing him like this huge service, like I got it, babe, you don't have to worry about the shopping, I'll get it done. So we have now sort of added that in. We get a babysitter and we will actually like go shopping, which is like not really something we ever do like the other 364 days of the year, but it's meant a lot to him, and he can then, you know, really feel a little more invested in the gift giving aspect of our Christmas. So that might just be a suggestion.
I guess this is just an interesting question. It's like a marriage question in a lot of ways. But yeah, it's just communicating, not assuming. I think sometimes, my husband and I, we do conversate a lot, but sometimes I think in different seasons, I know a lot of couples might struggle with that. So I think just being okay with asking questions or scheduling time to conversate about, I think not just about Christmas, I would just say just the trajectory of, a big picture of like, where do we want to see our family? And just big picture questions. And then kind of how does that filter into, this season? And I would even say, like, for me, it's not as much Christmas, or for us, it's not as much Christmas as much as like preparing for the year ahead, preparing about like looking back at this year and how has our family lived and how has just a lot of those things of like questions of like, so I say that because I feel like when we get into these conversations, those are important things, like how has our marriage been? How has parenting been? And where do we want to see ourselves in 2020, and how can we grow? I don't know. So I know, everyone has different marital relationships and communicating and those types of things. And you can't force that upon somebody, but you can ask those questions little by little. Maybe it's a seed just to think about. But that's how we would probably conversate a lot about that.
Paul, you're baby. Okay. Last one. I'm going to share a couple before you guys, once you guys are done, but do you have any practical activities or advice or things that you do? I know, Margo, you mentioned you guys do the Happy Birthday Jesus cake. Are there any other things you'd like to share? I know you do, Margo.
I know they're giving me a hard time because this is like, I guess, kind of my MO. But I know that the Jesse tree has become let me just pull my little basket over here.
Since you asked.
I just happen to have all these things here. The Jesse tree has become super popular in the last 10 years, which I love. I can give my mom a hard time about this, but she fell upon this many years ago because we even did the Jesse tree growing up. But it is a super sweet, and this is ours, which maybe is like from the 80s or the 90s. I don't know. I think a lot of people, like I know even Anna Voskamp has put out one, and like the school is doing one this year. So it's basically a simple kid's devotion. And I think what I love most about it is that it goes through the prophecies of Christ's coming and how Jesus fulfills the prophecies of the Old Testament and the New Testament. And so it's just such a beautiful way to pull together the stories that your children are already being exposed to, like the story of Noah's Ark, the story of the coat of many colors, and it shows how Jesus is present through the whole Bible. And I think that is a lifelong lesson that we want to train our children in. And so anyway, super sweet. And now it seems like they're on every corner. So, even like, again, my sweet mama, has all these like ornaments, but I think even the ones that Caitlin has are like these really cool like discs. I've seen them on Etsy. I mean, they're everywhere, which is so sweet. I mentioned just music and books for us, and I'll put these books on the table, but Such a sweet way, mm-hmm. at least for our family, to expose our kids to the theme of sacrificial giving, the life of Jesus through stories that aren't necessarily about Joseph and Mary and baby Jesus. Mm-hmm. In fact, this one is my kid's absolute favorite for some reason. It's called The Baker's Dozen. Mm-hmm. And again, it's just about being like living generously and giving of yourself. And there's a bunch like that. Sweet, sweet Christmas stories that just open up good conversation throughout the month. I know Caitlin's got hers, but I'm a big fan of a kid-friendly nativity scene just because it really allows, we use this one that's by a company called Fontanini, and they look fragile, but they're like made of plastic. I mean, and my mom gives us one every year, so we have like a whole little village of people from Bethlehem, which is super sweet. Our kids love that. I'm trying to think what else. Baby Jesus's birthday cake, looking at Christmas lights. There was one other. When we decorate our Christmas tree, we eat peppermint ice cream. It's just something that my grandma did. Mm-hmm. And again, it's small. It costs like $4 to buy peppermint ice cream, but my kids so look forward to it. We decorated our tree last night and they were like, "Mom, where's the ice cream?" And it was just sweet. I'm trying to think. I have a list. The Gospel Coalition just put out the top 10 Advent albums from the last decade, and this is super sweet. I know the last couple years here at church, they've done the ballet to the Behold the Lamb from Andrew Peterson, but it seems as though there's a bunch, I'll put these on y'all's table, there's a bunch of Christian artists who have really made an effort to shift Christmas music away from sort of like jingle bells and things like that and really make it about Advent and about Jesus. So that is super sweet, and we've loved that too. So.
And I think you put that on their on the tables, right?
Or think that I have the stack right here, but I'll bring them around. Did Gail put them on? Okay, perfect. So good. Okay, good. So some of those have become some of our favorites.
Well, I'm going to dismiss them before I just share a couple, and then I'm going to give you guys table time because I realize we talked a lot. But do you guys have any questions, anything that just kind of came up in your minds that you would love to ask these ladies? Thank you guys for coming. I appreciate y'all. I'll just share real quick a couple. Well, first of all, I do have a giveaway. If you have a birthday in December, raise your hand. If you do. No? If you have a child whose birthday is in December, you do. Oh, okay. Good fun. There you go. These, Kelly gave me these. Kelly means these are chocolate. I have no idea if they're scripture or not. Well, there you go. Kind of defeats the purpose of everything we were just talking about. But it's fun. Who else said you did too? Anyone else?
I'm a baby soon.
Yeah, Caroline, you get one. There you go. There you go, girl. Eat that chocolate, mama. There you go. Oh, yeah. They're Santa Claus. Yep. There you go. Like Margo, as Margo shared, these were something I picked up a couple years ago. And again, it's just really cool to be reading scripture over the kids. And it's one a day. It's super easy. You can start on December 1st. Each of them has a picture. And what I like to do, I have my tree. And I'll say, okay, boys, you guys go find the apple. And they'll run over to the tree. And whoever gets to find the apple comes over first. And so it's just, I mean, they're boys. They love to be competitive. So this you can get on Amazon. And like Margo said, too, it's crazy. Even in, I came and spoke at Moms Connect 2 years ago about Advent. And the resources that are out now, there's just bukus of resources. So I'm not even going to recommend one to you because there's just so many. But this I did get off of Amazon. And I did make these for you. And during your table talk time, I have colored pencils because I remember last time the moms love to color. They're like, we never get to color. But this is for you to take, and I have extra ones too. This is, I kind of adapted this and took it into my own words from this. But you could take some of my extra ones, or you could take this home with your kids. You guys, you could have your kids color them. Again, it's just teaching them that there is such a bigger story than just the birth of Jesus, that this was predicted for centuries before he was coming, that and just to see the lineage of how Jesus came from the family of Jesse. So this is one of the resources. I don't know if y'all have picked up. I am so proud of our church because they have put such a fantastic effort into making
so many different resources available to us, even just the Serve Day this weekend. I mean, community outreach, these people are like machines. They could do this on their own. They really could. And they could probably do it a lot faster and more efficient. But they have chosen to invite our families in to serve and giving us opportunities with kids. Some of you might not, that might not be your season. I've been there before when it's babies and nap times. But if you haven't had a chance to pick up any of these in the atrium, I mean, it's just chock full, y'all. This devotional that they have, a weekly Advent guide, Randy Schlichting, Laura, Caleb, they all wrote in this, and it's just fantastic. Jeff, they have several different opportunities for you to serve as a family, as a discipleship group, as a Connect group. So definitely check that out. I only have one here right now. So again, can you tell Margaret and I are very similar parenting? I love a kid's nativity. I think this Little People one is like, they bumped the price up because last time I checked, I think it's like $50. So it's 41. Okay, there you go. But my boys love it. Even my 6-year-old, almost 7-year-old still loves it. So that song is super annoying, but you can turn it off in the back. But again, just getting them immersed to the story, getting them constantly exposed to it. Lastly, like I said, I'm going to give you table talk time. In the past, we've gone through this, but this is an Advent devotion that I got at Hobby Lobby. I looked the other day, and I couldn't find it there. You might could find it online. But again, there's so many resources for doing this. And the whole heart behind that is focusing on the 4 Sundays prior to Christmas, going over the themes of hope, peace, joy, love. There are a lot of people that also have a white candle that they light on Christmas Day. If you want to, you can come up here. I want to honor your time, so I'm going to not talk about it, but you can light one each. I think you guys are all pretty familiar with that. So, that being said, it is 11:06. They have till 11:30, right? I'm going to put up, I'm done talking. Unless you have a question, I'm done talking. What you guys can do is I have some table talk questions that I'd like for you guys to talk with at your table, and you can color. How fun is that? And I have JoJo's from Trader Joe's that I'd love to pass around if you guys are hungry. So my first question would be, hold on. Is this up? Hold on. Oh, there we go. Okay, the first one is, what are you hoping to experience with your family this Christmas? So y'all just talk amongst yourselves.
Ladies, I'm just going to start wrapping up. You don't have to run out the door right now, but I just wanted to go ahead and close out the morning. I know you've picked up great tips, and I hope this morning was an encouragement to you, hearing from so many different women and their ideas and their thoughts about traditions, everybody having that same theme of making your own, figuring out what your family traditions are. And I will say my 2 sons are 26 and 24, and the most that they remember about Christmas is growing up were the traditions, not what they got, not their presents. And if I ever even halfway think about not doing something that we've always done, food-wise or how we start the season, they get very upset still. So it's funny. I mean, neither one of them are married, so they haven't started their own traditions. But, like, first night we put up the tree, we turn all the lights off, have the tree on, order a pizza and sit in front of the tree and talk about all of our Christmases before and their favorite one and what it's meant to them. When they were younger, we would say, what's the one thing that you really want to get for Christmas? And then before we take the tree down, we do the same thing. We get pizza and we talk about what was their favorite memory from that Christmas. And I mean, even now at their age, they want us to sit down and talk about it and do that. So I love that. So just remember, traditions and your family time really means a lot to your kids. So anyway, I look forward to hearing the traditions that y'all start making in your families. So enjoy the rest of your day. Remember, you've got till probably 11:40 before you have to start heading downstairs. So enjoy, relax, and remember, next week is just a morning for you to come and enjoy each other's company. Have a good week.